Thursday, 100. Okay, normally it's Thursday, June 12th, but I just kind of was freewheeling there for a second. 162nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, College of the Redwoods President Kathy Smith. It's a grateful day to see you.
It is an amazing day. This weather's been gorgeous.
Yeah. Boy, it's too bad we couldn't count on it, huh? You imagine what your enrollment would be if this was the weather all the time?
Well, I'm sure students would come to school, but whether or not they would go into the classroom would be debatable.
You know, they pay the tuition. That's what matters, right? This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about, well, graduation has happened since last we got together, so we can spend a little bit of time on that. Facilities management. Now, a lot of the big projects are done, but there was a little bit of a news item earlier this week that talked about, well, perhaps it's not completed yet. So we'll talk about that. Budget coming up around the corner. What does that look like? Not tuition, but attendance. What does it look like for the upcoming school year? We'll talk about it when we come back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith, but before we do, let's see if I can find a quote about education. There should be something halfway in that neighborhood, huh? There's dreams and drinking. Those kind of were involved with my education. Not yours?
I might say they were with my son's, but yeah, not mine.
Okay, I found it. Edumacation. Here we go. Okay, Rosalind Brown, 1984, quote. See, the book.
I know, I'm looking at the name of the woman, the book about women.
All school children are hostages to red tape and fiscal insufficiency. Huh?
Fiscal insufficiency, I'll agree with.
Not even the red tape you want?
Yeah, maybe not at the college level.
How about hostage? Yeah. Oh, geez. So graduation has occurred.
We did.
You got everybody kicked out that should have been kicked out, and everybody who
isn't still there. We had four graduations, as usual, plus the nurse's pinning. So we hold graduation at all of our sites. So we had a graduation at Mendocino Coast and a graduation at Del Norte and a graduation at Klamath Trinity in Hoopa. And then we had our main campus graduation here in the gym at Eureka as well.
Pinning?
Nurses pinning. They have a formal
graduate?
Ceremony. Well, they can go through graduation as well if they want to. Many of them do. Some of them don't. But the nurses, in addition to getting a degree from the college or a certificate from the college, but a degree in most cases, the nurses also have a formal ceremony that goes way back to the Florence Nightingale era about lighting candles and family members coming up and pinning them. And I don't have all of the background to talk about all of the traditions.
But you kind of watched it and saw it.
I watched it. I've
was
watched
it, cool?
it for many years. Absolutely. Very cool. Okay. It's very interesting. And I guess it's so personal because they actually choose who they want to pin them. And it's one nurse at a time. And whether it's her husband or her grandmother, her children or whomever, oftentimes if they've had a family member who has been a nurse, they ask that person to come pin them. But there were lots of little kids going up and helping to pin their mothers. And it was so
cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
And the gym was full, absolutely full.
So why do you do it inside instead of outside?
I think it's probably historically because you can't depend upon the weather, and it's hard to have a plan A and B and set up a facility everywhere. I mean, it takes us days to get the gym ready because you have to cover the floor with tarps and all
that's
that.
That's right. So all the build up and the breakdown afterwards, and you got, what, three or four nice fields? Oh, boy, within a softball throw away.
But if you set up the chairs and things, or set it all up to have it on a field, and then it rains, and you don't have the gym set up. We don't have enough chairs to do it in both places. So I think it's just a matter of how quickly could we get Plan B together if it starts raining.
Can you use the theater?
Theater's not large enough. Doesn't hold enough people.
Yeah, it's only about 300, huh?
Yeah, a little bit over 300, but we get a lot more than that coming for graduation.
Okay.
We'll use the theater for some of our graduations. Thursday, I believe, we have Police Academy graduation, and we use the theater for that because we only have, you know, 20, 30
graduates. It's a smaller size.
Yeah.
We were seeing when we went back and saw Stephens, they Doan has an outdoor amphitheater. And that was all set up, but there were thunderstorms in the forecast.
And was there a plan B?
Plan B was to use the auditorium, and then each kid would only have a certain number of tickets.
Ah, yes.
So it got truncated. There were no problems. Everything was outside, and it went off smooth. Something along those lines, or the field house, or something. Mm. And it seems unfortunate because the physicalness of the campus could accommodate so many cool things inside the building. Really can't.
Well, I think everywhere I've ever been, we've talked about having indoor, at colleges, talked about having indoor, outdoor graduations, and no place I've worked has ever accomplished that. The high schools, I've been to my children's high school that were outdoors. Of course, it was 105 degrees, and we're sitting there with sun umbrellas.
Well, and Eureka's done it, and I've been to a couple of them where it was foggy, and you go, okay.
Yeah.
But it's not, it may not be like it's been, but we don't get too many rain.
Yeah.
Full on.
Well, I will tell them that you think we should try it.
And if 2 days before it's raining hard and it's supposed to rain hard, well, okay. Right. But I would think that the other would be, you're missing an opportunity, I guess would be the simplest way.
With that, the beautiful redwood trees around.
Yeah, it's a backdrop, and all the pictures everybody takes, and the people from out of the area that come up because their kids have come here, and they don't really get a chance to bask in the glow. Right. How's that?
That sounds good.
Okay.
We did.
Do you have a rule? Nobody leaves until everybody's done graduating.
I don't know whether that's a rule or not, but we go through a practice.
How about a tradition?
And they do not leave. A tradition, definitely. They do. Okay. They're very good.
Somebody was saying a couple of the area schools did it, and there were multiple, divisions or classes or schools or whatever, the things with the banners. And by the time the last group went through, there was nobody there.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, how can that be?
No, ours actually went very quickly. I had heard lots of comments after the fact from people who attended that, it was a very smooth graduation. And we were done in less than an hour.
Everybody remembered their lines. KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take 2 on KWSW 3 times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith. Kathy, graduation went well. The concept of using the outdoor is really cool. And then earlier this week, we got information, official information, from the school saying, by the way, the grandstands are now condemned. Okay, at the stadium. Yeah, they're wood. Yeah, they've been there for a while. Was this an anticipated thing that you were looking and try to get it all replaced this summer?
Well, the replacement part's going to be difficult, especially given that timeline. I don't think we're going to get that all done this
summer.
Well,
they're just wood planks, right?
They're wood planks, but there's other issues with that stadium. It's very old, as you know. It was built...
No, don't say very old.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not as old as you and me.
It's built in the mid-60s. Yeah, exactly.
It's not as old as you and me.
It's aging nicely.
It's aging nicely, yes. Well, at one point, apparently, the wood planks had been, or at least many of them, had been covered up with...
plastic stuff.
Yeah, whatever that's Teflon stuff. I don't know what that stuff is. Yeah. And so with that on top of it, you can't really see where the wood has deteriorated and where it has rotted out. So we have had three or four places there where somebody has stepped up on the seating of the bleachers and it's broken the wood. So we actually had somebody come in and do analysis, our insurance carrier, Keenan, and they came in and looked at it all and said, we can't have people sitting on these anymore. They also went across the field and looked at the visitors' bleachers, and they're in the same condition. So it's going to be easier for us to replace the visitors' bleachers. So we're working
smaller.
On,
I get that one.
Right. Well, it's just not built in, you know.
And they're portable.
Yeah, portable bleachers or whatever. So we're looking at what we can do to replace those fairly soon. But at the big stadium piece, we are not. We don't have a clear direction because we don't have the funding for that. We do have, of course, our facilities funding that's left from Measure Q and from the state bonds. There's still a little bit of money left there. However, you can't use them for things like, you can't use bond money for things like stadiums if it's not an educational facility. The track and the field are educational because we use them for our classes, but the stadiums, the actual seats, are not.
So you couldn't use it for hallways because hallways aren't where you teach?
I think hallways you have to have to get to the classroom. So
don't you need seats to have a classroom?
Yes, you can use it for seats in the classroom, but you don't need it for seats at the field. And you can go argue with the state about that because I don't understand it, but I know what
that would be on the list.
yes, I'm sure.
So you can't use the bond monies for facilities.
For the stadium, correct. So right now we're looking at, and actually, you know, for the first time I've paid attention to how that's built, and it's not, I was hoping it was cement steps up there, like at previous schools I've been at, because then you could take the bleachers out and at least have cement steps. But it is a solid piece of concrete slanting up.
You know, why? You would need to clean it?
Pardon me?
You need to clean it. You go down to the bottom, and it's all, I mean, really easy. Thought it was a tremendous design.
Yeah, great. Well, and
except in these scenarios.
Well, what we need to do is just take those bleachers down and see if there's a way that we can come in, but it's going to have to be general funded or fundraised money to replace bleachers.
So you rip it all out?
Yes.
Building up or build it?
You could start. You don't have to do the whole thing. Absolutely. And at another college I was at previously, we just put in some seating, not all seating, because we were doing it a little bit at a time. We were fundraising for it. So that's a possibility. The other issue, though, with the stadium is the overhang, the roof, that has lost its structural...
Integrity,
good word.
So it's saggy?
Well, I'm sure it met the standards in 1960, whatever it was built, but it doesn't meet today's Department of State Architects standards. And it does sag a bit. We have been concerned about the roof. So there's a lot that needs to be done over there.
So you're going to have to knock off the roof, too?
Yes.
Holy Toledo.
Yes. So we're looking at options now for the football season this fall, what we can do to make sure that we have a safe place for the scorers and the people who run the clock and the announcers and all of that. But it looks like students or spectators will need to be sitting on the other side probably, unless we have some temporary answer to the bleachers on the home side. So we'll have home and visitors.
Well, you'll be
together.
Able to claim that you were sold out for every home game.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, standing room only.
And I'll say, you know, for most of our college events, we don't fill the stands anyway. So we'll, you know, I think we'll be able to accommodate the number of people that attend those events. But sometimes we have other events at the college that do attract a lot of people. So we're working on solutions.
And apparently a different design then also.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
it's a cantilever out that far.
But look how long it lasted. You know?
Yeah.
They were made out of wood and they've lasted 50 years. So, you know, it's not maybe not a bad design. We just have to replace.
Yeah. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Kathy Smith.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's. St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith. Kathy, what are the conditions of the other buildings, other edifices?
I don't know.
Plural. Okay. Yeah. Buildings around. You got the new couple of buildings. We've seen the new metal roofs go on over the last decade or so over a number of them. Parking lot certainly is significantly different than what it was. Has everything kind of had a go through and a freshening up?
Well, we're trying to finish up the most important things because we're running out of bond money. It's been 10 years since the bonds were approved. Not everything is going to get done. Actually, when you put together the bond measure back in 2004 and took inventory of what needed to be done, we didn't have some of these problems that we have now with some of the older buildings. And so we're discovering new things that need done. So what we're concentrating on now, we've got about $10 million left of our bond money. What we're concentrating on now are life safety issues and compliance issues and just making sure that we meet our ADA requirements and we replace all the old carpet that people might trip on and that we get all of the safety issues completed.
So a lot of the safety is also maintenance.
Absolutely, yeah. But it's replacement of carpets and replacement of flooring and tiles and walkways. We have some walkways that...
Tree roots?
Yes, a few tree roots. And requirements have changed as to the percentage slope for a walkway, for ADA requirements. And so some of our walkways have to be replaced and widened and the slope changed and things
like that. I can understand widening.
Yeah.
The slope? Well, I'm sorry. No.
No, you've walked down some walkways that you wouldn't want to be on in a wheelchair.
But I wouldn't be thinking about using those if I was in a wheelchair.
Isn't that
the concept with the blue striping in the parking lots?
Yes.
So that you can select areas where you don't have that severe incline or decline?
True. And we do have...
I wouldn't try the stairs either, but, you know, that's me.
We have a lot of adequate parking for handicapped individuals to get around. So we've been working on that over the years, and we're just finishing up the last bit of ADA compliance that we have to do.
So is that going to suck up all the remaining dollars?
No, not exactly. We have a committee that's working on allocation of the rest of it. We do have a science lab that we're going to complete up in Crescent City at our Del Norte. The three new buildings for the Eureka campus have been completed, as you mentioned, but we've got a science lab completion up there, and we have, you know, odds and ends here and there that need to be done. Right now we're installing a dust collector in the wood shop. I mean, that's $250,000 project that comes out of bond money. Again, it's safety issues on the dust that comes from sawing wood all day, and we need a new dust collector. So that's part of what we're doing right now. There are things that you may not see as much as appreciate if you're a student in those classes. We've got some projects that are so large, and they may not have been on the original list. Many of them were not on the original list, that we're going to have to go to the state and hope for a state bond to pass, which may or may not happen for the next year or two. But we're on the list of the state bond projects. We're fairly high on the list for a couple of things. So if a state bond passes, we hopefully would get some of that
bigger chunk items?
Yeah, bigger chunk items. One of our buildings, the Administration of Justice building, was not on the original Measure Q list when it was formed in 2004, so I don't know how that got overlooked, but there's some issues in that building that need to be addressed because it's, as you know, the same age as the other buildings on campus.
Yeah, it's one of the originals, isn't it?
It is. And the physical education building as well. And we've got some interesting issues happening with the PE building. And if people have been out there, if anybody's been out there this summer, we've got a couple areas in the parking lot that are fenced off because we actually have engineering firm in there doing some more seismic testing because there is an indication that perhaps one of our faults on campus heads toward the PE building. And so that could be good or that could be bad in that if it is in an area that no longer meets the criteria at the state level for, you know, seismic, and then the state would provide funding for a replacement of a building. Whereas,
really?
Yes. It might take a few years, but it would, you know, it depends upon, again, the health safety, life safety issues. So where we
So in the interim, you'd run out of the old field house?
No, I mean, unless the state tells us we can't use it anymore, then we can continue
off. So they would have to condemn.
Yeah, what happened with the old physical science and life science building and the old library was once the state provided some funding to build new buildings and the new LRC got built and the Library Learning Resource Center, then the state said, okay, we provided money for you to build this new building. Now you can no longer use the old building for student. And so that's what they did with the physical science and life science as well. When these two new academic buildings opened last year, that was when the state said no longer use the old buildings. So.
Always interesting, because then you got a shell and everybody still sees it as a viable entity.
Absolutely. And even our own faculty and staff say, whoa, we need space. Why can't we use this building? But the state has their, you know, their rules about giving
so
us funding.
So what can it be used for? Anything? Or do you just knock it down and not worry about it?
Well, so historic buildings. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how, you know.
They're not that old.
Yeah, they're not that old, but you said they were not old.
They were maturing.
Yeah, maturing. Okay. Yeah. Well, the issue is that according to the law, the statutes, community colleges are part of the K-12 system, K-14 system. The requirements for seismic issues, construction of a building, are more strict for K-14 than they are for university. So those buildings could be used for teaching university classes. They can be used by private businesses. They can be used by other organizations.
Just can't be used by you.
And we can have offices in some of them, but we can't require students to go into there.
So why don't you put the teacher offices in there?
Well, because students visit teachers. And we want students to visit teachers, and we want teachers to be in their offices for students to visit them. But we do have, let's say, our IT staff. Our IT staff is in the old administration building, and, you know, students don't necessarily go to see the programmers. So they're sitting in that building right now. And we do have the old administration building leased out to PG&E on a 5-year term. So PG&E is occupying that. We have had some interest and some inquiry into renting out some of the other old buildings. We'll see whether we can work something out, because if we can put them to good use and bring in enough income to offset the cost of maintaining them, then I think that's what we would prefer to do.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Kathy Smith.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith. Kathy, so you got some of the different challenges that are there. Now, over the last little bit, we've talked about Mendocino campus and whether or not it was going to be part of Mendocino Community College, whether it was going to be part of Redwoods, whether it was going to stay, whether it was going to move. What's the status going on with that one?
Well, that's an interesting question, because there's a lot happening as far as the Mendocino Coast campus goes. The Board of Trustees for College of the Redwoods actually agreed to a memorandum of understanding that would give Mendocino College the responsibility, the right to operate that campus. Now, Mendocino College Board of Trustees has not yet agreed to that. So we are moving forward planning for Mendocino College to take over the education, the offering of the classes on the Mendocino Coast this fall. We've got a lot of formalities.
Seed the campus over to them and say, there you go, guys?
Well, there's a lot of formalities that we're going to have to work through at the state level. So what we're looking at is taking the next year or two to work through all of those details. There's, things like who gets the credit for teaching those students, because there's funding that goes along with it in addition to FTES.
Wouldn't they get it if they're teaching it?
Well, in addition to the per student funding, yes, they would get the per student funding. But College of the Redwoods right now gets a center funding for having a center, physically having a center there. So we have to work out with the state how we can transfer that over to Mendocino College. I mean, we can just write them a check. That's not the money.
Yeah, I was saying, wouldn't it make sense? I mean, if they are with them, obviously have the responsibility of the maintenance of the facility, of just saying, okay, you're an owl now instead of a Corsair. Thank you very much.
An eagle. Not an owl, an eagle, but yes. The issue there has to do with, we were grandfathered, College of the Redwoods was grandfathered that center, because any new center nowadays in the community college system statewide has to have 1,000 FTES to be able to get center funding. And we had the center long ago, and it's only had 250 FTES, well below the 1,000 minimum. So we were grandfathered with an old center. So can we pass on that grandfathered? I'm sorry, they've been saying grandparented, so I need to say grandparented.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yes.
Even grandma and grandpa are now PC'd, huh?
That's right. So we have a grandparented center, and we have to work with the chancellor's office.
No, you don't say grandparented.
To transfer the grandparented center over to Mendocino College. So we're working on it. We're working on it.
The state and all their infinite and somewhat limited wisdom just can't say, you guys agree with this? Yes, okay. Boom, we'll drop off a certain number of trustees, add it into their area, just shift them over and say, okay, it's done.
Well, there has not been a precedent set for this, so which is good and bad for us, because when we ask, can we do this, they say, well, there's no precedent. But when I say, well, if there's no precedent, then we can do what we think we need to do.
Yeah, are there any issues why we cannot do?
Right.
Yeah, it'll go the other way.
And we're working through that, and we're working closely with the president and his cabinet at Mendocino College. And, we're running into road bumps here and there, but we're on the same page as to logistically it makes sense for Mendocino College to service that area. So as we get to a road bump, we're just going to work it through and keep plowing forward.
Is there a functional, can you do a functionally, okay, you guys handle it, and then we'll clean up the leftovers and make the transfer happen?
Yeah. That's kind of what we're looking at for fall.
Spirit of the law, right?
Yes. But
all right.
Then we have to clean it up, yes.
Well, yeah, and then there's the spirit of the janitor's room. Okay.
Right.
Thanks for coming by, Kathy.
Well, thank you for having me.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out making a good day. Hug someone who loves you.